Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining me today. And this is my first recording of 2010, and I thank you for being patient with me. A lot of stuff has been happening here at Cross and Throne Ministries, and but we are now back in business. For those of you who are new, you can find us on the web at crossandthrone.com. Again, it's crossandthrone.com. Well, today I'd like to give a word of exhortation. And the word of exhortation is this. Are you a believer? If you are, if you believe in God, the Creator, and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you are duty-bound to read the Bible, all of it, cover to cover. Let me repeat it again. If you're a believer in God and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, you are duty-bound to read the Word of God from cover to cover. Now let me anticipate, and let me anticipate really quickly somebody who's going to object by saying something like, I'm not under law but under grace. That's a cop-out. Those who use that phrase, not under law but under grace, to rid themselves of obligation are foolish. The Apostle Paul, writing in his letter, said the reason, for instance, he was writing to the Corinthians, he said he wrote the letter to the Corinthians to them that he may prove them whether they would obey. Obedience. We are creatures. God is the Creator. If you are a believer in God, if you believe in the deity of God or the godhood of God, then you will realize this, that He is God and we are His creatures. And as creatures, our responsibility is to obey. The writer of the Ecclesiastes said it like this as he summed up his musings there in Ecclesiastes, the experience this man went through, Solomon. And it says here, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Duty. I love that phrase. You know, Robert E. Lee said that duty is the most sublime word in the English language. You know, duty is important. We can never do more than our duty, but we should never do less than our duty. The scriptures are given to us to guide us. Now, just recently, a friend of mine was in some discussions with somebody who was a who is against what we teach here on this program, and this friend of mine was speaking with this with our adversary, and I asked my friend to ask the adversary, what is his standard of truth? Because, you know, if there are two people who confess to believe in God and believe in Jesus Christ, in order for us to discuss doctrinal issues, we may, you know, whether you're a dispensationalist or, you know, or you're not a dispensationalist, if two men disagree on doctrinal issues, they can never discuss truth or come to a conclusion or argue, I say, with each other, in a kind way, obviously, unless they have a standard from which to argue. In other words, I've had friends in the past who do not believe in dispensational truth. I do. But these friends that I know believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I appreciate that. So we can argue because we have a book from which we derive all of our truth from. Well, this man, and I think this is, and you may have this opinion today, but I think this is almost a plague of Christendom today. This adversary did not believe that the Bible was the final authority for the believer. He believed that it was the Spirit of Jesus, and Jesus is the truth, and so Jesus is the final authority. And let me just respond, but when people talk like that, they're talking, it's a satanic doctrine. It comes right from the evil one. Because if Satan's first question in the scriptures was, yea, hath God said. He drove Eve away from the written words, what God had said, actually. And she went into reasoning. And this man uses the Spirit of God in Jesus in an unholy way because the source of his authority is not the Word of God. And this is why it's important in the days in which we live. It is the scriptures that are going to keep us from evil and to guide us into all truth. And since we are living in a very bad day right now, the only thing that'll keep us in the right path is the study and subjection to the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God, believe it, obey it, and pass it on to others. Well, for my text this morning, I want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I want to start reading here. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, it says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them." Now notice what he says here. I've given you statutes and judgments to teach you, for to do them. A lot of us like to be taught. We go to conferences, we listen to speakers, but we just want to hear them. Scriptures are always given with a view to obedience and the ones hearing them. This is true from Genesis 1 to Revelation. When Paul wrote his letters, he wrote that they might be obeyed. Do the search, do a word search for the word obedience in Paul's letters. You'll be surprised. And obedience is not legalism. When you present, there are rules. There are precepts to follow. People today argue and say, well, I'm not under law, but I'm under grace. That means I can do as I please. No, it doesn't. Nowhere in the scriptures are we told to do what we please. We are to do what God pleases. We are to love the thing God loves, and we should hate the things that God hates. But how do we know what God loves, and how do we know what he hates, unless we're saturated with the word of God? I know in my own past, in my religious past, I hated things because my religion told me these were bad things. And I love things that really were wrong. And so in the scriptures, it'll give us a right balance of what is right and wrong. We read in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, that in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right. And you say, well, what's wrong with doing what is right? We all want to do what's right, but it says they did what was right in their own eyes. See, when you do what is right in your own eyes, if I may interpret this or paraphrase that statement, doing right in your own eyes is essentially saying, it is essentially being your own God and determining what's right and wrong for yourself. We should never do that. You and I aren't qualified to play God. And so we need to go to the scriptures to get our instruction on whatever issue it is. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Now notice you're not to add or diminish from it. A perfect example of this is found in the Gospel of Mark. If you go on your own, go read Mark chapter 7, verse 1 through 13. The Pharisees laid aside the word of God for their own traditions. They added to the word of God their own traditions. And you can also diminish from it. You can diminish from it by not keeping it to the fullest. For instance, in the 1 Samuel 15, God told Saul, through Samuel, to destroy all the Amalekites, everything, the men and the beasts. But what did Saul do? He spared their king and spared the best of the flock, and he was disobedient, according to the scriptures. He diminished from the word of God. And he goes on, verse 3, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land where ye go to possess it." That's the second time we read that phrase, that he taught them that they may do it. And teaching to be doing. Now, that should be our attitude. Pardon me. That should be our attitude when we read the Word of God. We should open up the Scriptures, and as the psalmist said, "Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy Word," and read the Word of God and seek to put into practice what you're told to do. And of course, we do believe, rightly dividing the Word of truth, there are some commands we can't keep. But that does not mean we don't study the whole Word of God and put into practice what we're told to do. He goes on, verse 6, "Keep therefore and do them," there it is again, "for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." In other words, all the nations surrounding Israel would see that they possess this law that governed them and gave them the most liberty. Do you realize that the children of Israel had a perfect republic under law, It was there were very few laws, no prison system, very little taxes, maximum of freedom, protection from theft and violence. All this was given to them in God's law. And that was their wisdom and understanding. See, obedience to God is freedom. It's liberty. It's life for here and now. Now, Moses is not talking about pie in the sky when you die. He's talking about practical living here and now. Verse 7. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Now notice Paul says this in verse 7. The possession of the word of God was a testimony to the nations of how God was so nigh unto them in all things that they call upon him for. Now I want you to think about that statement for a minute. Go back and read Deuteronomy 4, 6, and 7. They were given a law that governed every area of their life. In other words, it says here, who hath God so nigh unto them? When God gave the commands to Israel and he governed their society, it was proof that God was interested in the details. You know, the Apostle Paul says something very interesting. He says in 1 Corinthians, says, whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now notice the phrase eating and drinking. That's the basics of life. Now, notice Paul doesn't say whether you're giving an evangelistic crusade or preaching to 10,000 people do the glory of God. No, he says whether you eat or drink. Those are the basics of life. God is interested in what you have for breakfast, my friend. He's interested in what you have for lunch. You know, Stonewall Jackson, and I love these historical figures, it says every time he took a glass of water to his mouth, he thanked God for the water of life. He recognized that God was in the details. And friends, he's in the details. There is no distinction between secular and sacred in the life of the believer. All of your life comes under the sphere and authority of God. Now that should not put chains about your neck. It should free you. You know, people are always looking to do something, and especially American Christians. They're always looking for the utopia. They're always looking to retire and live the good life. But you know what? Every day can be lived to the glory of God. And I think this is why Americans hate going to work so much, because they don't see any value in their work. They don't see that their jobs or housewives who stay at home and they clean up after babies, people think that's bad work. These are the things in which God is most honored. These are the details of life, and they carry with it the stamp of the divine. Because God wants us to raise our children. God wants us to work to his glory. There's nothing in your life that is secular. It's all sacred. Isn't that a great encouragement? Well, this is Dan Sheridan, and my encouragement again to you is read the Word of God and obey it. If you have any questions, feel free to call us 847-312-4676 or go to our website at crossandthrone.com. If you want to keep this program going, please consider your support. You can support us electronically through the web, or you can send your help to Cross and Throne Ministries, P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Your donations support the ministry, and also we do acts of charity and helping those who need it. For those of you who want to know more about that, let me know. I'll be glad to tell you. But we seek to be useful to God in our generation. Until next time, the closer you draw near to Christ, the more freedom you will enjoy. Have a great day, everyone.